This morning's message is Blessed to Belong to Christ, Part 2. I got a little carried away in Part 1, and what I had intended to say got caught up in the testimonials of what I had to share about who the Lord is to me and what the Lord has done for me. And that happens sometimes, so I wanted to continue, though, this morning by looking at Romans 7:4 again. So the message is titled, Blessed to Belong to Christ, Part 2. And our text verse is the same as it was last week, Romans chapter 7, verse 4. So, my brothers, Romans 7:4. So, my brothers, my brethren, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. If you're taking notes, the main idea is the same one as from last week, which is because I am blessed to belong to Christ, because I am blessed to belong to Christ, I can be a blessing of Christ to others. Because I am blessed to belong to Christ, I can be a blessing of Christ to others. We've been freed from the law. If we know Jesus, the Lord has taken us from a place of an orientation to God that was rules and obligation to a place of freedom and relationship. And this month's message corresponds really, as Shanaria was talking about our altar, this month's message corresponds to the third part of our faith altar, which essentially is about God helping each one of us grasp how special we are to him and grasp the idea that each one of us has been created by him to have a game-changing effect on the earth. That each one of us is his special workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That each one of us is a part of his body, a vital part of his body. And so this month's message and today's message in particular corresponds to that third part, which is, Lord, help us to grasp. Help us, Lord, through all of our ups and downs as a church, our ups and downs as families, our ups and downs as individuals, whether it's on the job, through all of our ups and downs, help us to grasp the mighty work you are doing in and through each one of us. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us to not see ourselves as wandering generalities, but as meaningful specifics. We are no longer under the requirement of the Ten Commandments, no longer under the requirement of the law, no longer under the requirements of the do's and the don'ts. Not because the law was bad, not because there was anything wrong with the Ten Commandments, but as we saw last week, it's because we were so bad. We couldn't live up to it, so God had to come up with another plan. They can't do it. I got to fix this. I got to help them. And so God sent Christ. And through the body of Christ, he met the requirements of us, the requirements of the law for us, it says in Romans 8. Christ lived a sinless life and fulfilled the requirements of the law, and by living a sinless life and then dying on the cross for us to take away our sins. And so what a glorious thing it is to belong to the living God. Yesterday I was taking my walk and I just said, Lord, thank you for deepening and broadening and expanding my understanding and expanding my experience and my appreciation of the blessing of us, of the blessing of you and I, of the blessing of the relationship that I have with you, of the blessing that it is to belong to you. Thank you for opening my eyes, opening my heart, opening my spirit, opening my understanding to, in increasing measure, see the blessing of belonging to you. That belonging to you no longer feels like an oppressive thing or an obligatory thing or a constraining thing. It feels liberating. I am joyfully engaged in this wonderful process of understanding what it means to belong to you. I'm learning to enjoy the blessing of belonging to Christ. What you are looking at here on stage, brothers and sisters, is not a finished product. For all that you've heard me say about what a joy it is to know Jesus, and you're probably tired of hearing me say it, and if you aren't tired, hallelujah. And if you are tired, I'll pray for you. Because there is so much more of him to enjoy than what I am enjoying right now. There is so much more of him to discover than what I know right now. No matter where we are, there is another level. In fact, I was telling a brother, I said, think of Valley Brook. You're walking along this corridor, the years that you've been here, you're walking along this corridor and you come to the other end and you think, I've heard it all. I know what it's all about. I've heard all about what it means to know Jesus and what a powerful thing it is to be in an increasingly great relationship with him. I'm at the door here. Is there anything more? Or is this the door that leads out now and it's time for me to move on to something else? And I said to this brother, what you need to do is look to your right because there's a staircase. And that staircase goes to another level. And there is another level of discovering him. And when you get to the end of that corridor, look to your right because there's a staircase. And that leads up to another level of discovering him. And when you go down that corridor, guess what? Look to your right, because there's another staircase leading to another level of what it means to know him. And so I am a work in progress, gloriously so. And I say, thank you, Jesus, for opening my eyes to see that this is so, that I've not maxed out on what it means to know you. And I'm learning to enjoy the blessing of belonging to Christ. That's part of what it means to get to know him better, which is the first item on our altar of faith here. Lord, through all that's going on, help us use it all to help us to know you better. Because that is where the true riches of life are found. We were talking about this at Bible study, and I'm only going to say this and I'm going to get back to my notes. We had such a good time at Bible study. Somebody said something. And everybody wanted to jump on it because this person was speaking about how the thing in life that is essentially what is most important is the stuff that I get or the stuff that I can do or the accomplishments that I have in life and the material things that I have in life. And, you know, God's going to bless me with that. And if he doesn't bless me with that, then do I have abundance? I mean, an abundant life means all the stuff, right? And they said that in the class, and the class was crickets, quiet. Nobody said a word, but they were screaming in their silence. And then finally someone spoke up. I think it was Mary Alston. And she said, you know, the abundance is about who Jesus is. The abundance is found in a relationship with him. Sure, he may give us all the other stuff, and God wants to be generous. He is generous. He's gracious. And he gives us all things to enjoy. But the abundance, the real stuff, the real riches, they're in him. And the blessing to us is as he opens our eyes to see that. Because not everybody sees that. You know, Jesus spoke about this in John chapter 6. And it says that as a result of him saying this, I am the bread of life. As a result of him saying, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of my blood, you don't have any life within you. It says, as a result of this, many of his disciples, many of the people who had been hangers-on and listeners, their eyes were not open to see how glorious a truth he was expressing. And so many of them walked away. And the Lord, of course, then turned to Peter and the disciples, and he says, you don't want to leave too, do you? But hallelujah, they had been blessed with an understanding of what true life was. And Peter said, Lord, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's something more about you than the stuff that you do. We want that. And if you are in a space where your heart is hungry for that, or if you're intrigued by that, maybe you're not hungry, but it sounds interesting, I might want more of that. If you have an appetite for that, you've been blessed by God. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. You're not that smart and you're not that righteous. If you have that kind of a hunger and a hankering and that intrigue, it is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life who is revealing to you the blessing of belonging to Christ. And that will never stop. And that's why you'll hear me say from time to time, what's to become of me? I don't know what's to become of me. This is not slowing down. This energy, this joy, this excitement, this passion, it's not going anywhere. I'm getting older and older, and it's getting bigger and bigger. It's getting stronger and stronger. But I'm a work in progress. So this idea of blessed to belong to Christ, back to my notes. Three words. To help us to enjoy the blessing of belonging. Three words. And they relate to the last part of Romans 7:4, the text verse, where it says that we've died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. And it's this last phrase that has just been giving me a heavenly haunting all week. In order that we might bear fruit to God. I don't think any of us in this room wants to live a fruitless life. I don't think any of us in this room want to live a life of minimal impact. You know, we're not all walking around saying, you know, I want to change the world every day. You know, we're trying to figure out how to pay the bills every day rather than many times thinking about changing the world. But deep down inside, all of us have a desire for our lives to count, for our lives to be effective, for our lives to have impact, to find our calling, to find our niche, to find that somewhere that's calling to us that will make us the star that we are in our spirit and soul, that hungering, that hankering. Three words to help us to enjoy belonging to Christ in the context of this whole idea of bearing fruit to God. The first word is relax. You know, I do believe if the Lord had one word for the church today, it would be relax. I think if he had one word to the church, it would be relax. We put so much pressure on ourselves and so much pressure on others to make it, whatever it is, happen. can insert whatever it is. We put pressure on ourselves and pressure on others to make it happen. Now, we're going to get to the alternative to pressuring ourselves in just a minute. But I love that song. You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. Relax. In a word. Relax. Don't worry is a common theme. A common phrase in the scriptures. Jesus would often say, don't be afraid. In other words, relax. Chill. Be at peace. Peace be with you. Take it off. Lay it down, as Shanaria was saying. Relax. I really do believe this. I mean, I don't think that the Lord's message to us is giddy up. I think it's more woe. I think we are just a hyper society. And we brought this hyper mindset into spirituality. And God's not hyper. He knows what he's doing. You were freed by God to bear fruit for him, it says. We were freed that we might bear fruit for him. He wants this for us more than we want it for us. Relax. We get so impatient. God doesn't need a lot of time to do what he wants to do with our lives. Hurry up, God. We're so impatient. He does not need a lot of time to do what he wants to do with our lives. Think of Abraham. How long did he wait to get going with Abraham? He's almost 100 years old. About time, God. We get so impatient. We get so impatient. Psalm 92:14 tells us this. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. I love that. Hurry up, God, before I'm old. Well, that's what I'm waiting for, so that you will be old, so I can do what I need to do. I mean, he works when we're young. He works when we're in the middle. He works when we're old. God is not on our timetable. We get so impatient. And you know what? I'll tell you, I am personally so inspired by the late blooming fruit that I see in so many of the people in our congregation. Late blooming fruit. Late blooming. Real late. Midnight blooming. I mean, I'm talking about people in our congregation, seriously, who have known the Lord for years, but are just now, at this stage in their lives, experiencing not just a renaissance of excitement about belonging to him, but a revolution that has them perplexed about what is going on. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we always think about the young people being the ones that are on the cutting edge doing stuff. That ain't how it is with God. God's got a whole bunch of seasoned veterans that he is working in and through to bear fruit for him. Now, we're going to talk about what is fruit in a minute, because we get confused about what is fruit. We do. We get confused. God help us. But I am so inspired that God is doing such a miraculous work in people who've known him for years, who are at the sunset, as they call it, of their lives. We get uptight. We get uptight about our deficiencies. It prevents us from relaxing. Oh, we get so uptight about our deficiencies. Thank you, Shanaria. That song was not planned as part of this message, but boy, you could have just inserted it right here in my notes. Oh, I wish I was more of this. Oh, I wish I was less of that. Lord, what are you going to do with me? How are you going to work through this? What's to be done? What's to be done? I can hear the Lord saying to his panicking disciples one day when they looked out at the multitudes and realized that they were hungry and they were ready to eat and they didn't have any food. And they finally scrounged up a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And so the Lord said, what you got? Well, here it is, Jesus. Here you go. Relax. Relax. Bring me what you got. Bring me what you got. Watch the master work. And learn that it's not about how much you have. Learn that it's never about how much you have. Relax. Because what I'm about to do is about more than feeding this crowd. What I'm about to do is something I hope will stay with you for the rest of your lives. And that you will apply to every area of your lives. It's not how much you have or how little you have. Bring what you got. In fact, bring what you don't got to me. Because you know what I did? Let me tell you what I did. This is why I say bring what you don't got. Because I spoke into the nothingness and created everything you see. I didn't need raw material to start. I just did it. Relax. Relax. See, relax doesn't mean being complacent. On the contrary, it means being quite diligent to not be anxious. Did you hear that? Be diligent about not being anxious. We get anxious about our results. We don't have any control over who or how many people are going to be blessed by our fruit or how they're going to be blessed by it. We don't have any control over that. We can't control anybody else's response. All we can do is bear what the Lord produces. We don't create the fruit, we bear it. We don't create the fruit, we bear it. The vine creates and produces the fruit. We bear it. Say more about that in a minute. Relax. Relax means be content to let God do his thing through you. Be content to let God do his thing through you. That's right. Amen. Relax. That means let God, you know, be content to let God do his thing through you and with the results he produces. And that brings us to the second word. And the second word is remain. Remain. John 15:5. Can write that verse reference down. I am the vine. I am the vine. Not you. I am the vine. You are what? The branches. If a man remains in me. And I in him, he will bear much fruit. There's no exceptions given here. Doesn't say if the pastor remains in me, he will bear much fruit. Doesn't say if Deacon Don remains in me, he will bear much fruit. It's anyone who remains in me will bear much fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. To remain means to stay engaged. To remain means to abide, to be at home. To remain means to rely on him. To remain means to get to know him. It's staying focused on him. Remaining in him is about relationship. Remaining with him is about connection. It's about the organic connection with him. Amen. And if a man or any person is engaged and connected and remaining in me, he will bear much fruit. What must we do the works of God? They asked Jesus. And Jesus said in John 6:29, the work of God is to believe in the one whom he has sent. You know, in the absolute sense, the Lord remains in us because the Holy Spirit is given to us forever. And in the absolute sense, we remain in him because we are in Christ when we become born again. But there is a practical sense of remaining in him, being engaged with him, being connected with him, being in a trusting relationship with him that Jesus is talking about here. And it says that you, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. And so I pray every day, Lord, what may I have today, fresh from your hand, that will help me to abide and delight in you today. That's my plan for fruitfulness. I don't know what yours is, but that's mine. Lord, I want to abide in you today. I want to remain in you today. I want to enjoy my relationship with you. I want to trust in you today. I want to be connected to you. As it says in Colossians, live in vital union with him. This is what it means to remain. My relationship with him becomes more central. Become more conscious of it. It's not an accessory like a bracelet or a watch or a necklace or a tie. He becomes more central to me. Remain. Bearing fruit for God, like it says here in Romans 7:4, it's not the same as bearing fruit for myself. It's bearing fruit as God determines it. It's bearing fruit as he determines it. I had breakfast with Brother Bill here. Where is Bill? There he is. We had breakfast, what was it, Tuesday? Thursday? Thursday, we had breakfast together. It sounds like that should be a book or a movie, or Breakfast with Bill. So we had breakfast together, and we were just doing what we do, having a good time talking about the Lord. And I asked Bill's permission, and he said I had permission to tell this as long as he wasn't in the room. But since he's sitting there. But Bill's brother is suffering from, is it dementia, Bill? Is that your, that's not your twin brother, is it? Yes, it's your twin brother, right. And Bill's been going to see him and went to a Bible study with him that his brother's been in for quite some time. And the subject was about servanthood. And so the facilitator went around and was asking people if they had any examples of servants in their lives. And Bill's brother chimed up, spoke out, and essentially said, and you can get all the details from Bill, but essentially said, my brother Bill is the man. My brother Bill is a servant of servants. And not only did Bill service hanging out with his brother as often as he does, just going up to check on him, see how he's doing. Not only was it a blessing to Bill's brother, but to Bill's brother's wife. She got a break. And she was blessed by it as well. And Bill was surprised. And that's the good part about this is Bill was surprised that his brother said that. I mean, he knew he was going there and everything, but he had no idea that his brother was going to pipe up and say this and for it to have that kind of impact on him. See, Bill, I don't know what Bill was thinking about in terms of being fruitful. Maybe Bill was thinking about all of you here and all the wonderful times he has sitting down counseling with you and the times that he's standing up here teaching or the times that he's doing all the things that Bill does that are making a difference. And they are. But Bill was bearing fruit for God, the fruit that God had determined for Bill to bear. In a totally unexpected place, in a totally unexpected way. We bear fruit as the Lord determines the fruit. Fruitfulness doesn't necessarily mean glamour or the spectacular or our name up in lights. It's the life of Christ that exudes from our being through our words, through our thoughts and our actions. It's not how many people we accumulate. It's not the empires we build. It's not the external measurements. Hear what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. The fruit is not out there. The fruit is what's coming out of here. It's the fruit that you bear. Whether you're bearing it with one person or 1,000 or 1,000,000, you will be fruitful because as your relationship with the one in whom you are remaining grows, what's coming out of you, whether the Lord wants to use it in a back alley somewhere with somebody who's homeless or somebody who's in a terrible situation, or whether he wants to use it on a platform of the people who've all got it together. No matter where he wants to use it, you will bear much fruit. Remaining in him and being content with fruit as God determines it. That's what it means to remain. Nothing is happening anywhere else on earth at this moment. Nothing is happening anywhere else on earth in any other church that's more important to God than what's happening right here this morning. Nothing. God is not doing anything more important, anything that's more important to him anywhere else on the planet than what he's doing in you right now. Because it's all his production. It's all his production. There may be things that are more prominent and things that have a lot more glitz and glamour to them, but nothing is more important to God than what he is doing in you right now. The scriptures immortalize both the quiet faith of an impoverished widow who gave all she had. It immortalizes her story. And it also immortalizes the impact of 3,000 being saved at one time without exalting one over the other, without making one better than the other, without giving one a qualitative edge over the other. It was just as important what that widow was doing as what Peter was doing when he stood up and preached. God was the producer of all. We don't have to constantly produce masterpieces of thoughts or actions in order to be fruitful for him. I like what one person said, a poor widow in a one-room hut can bear as much fruit as a televangelist leading giant crusades if she is surrendered to God in everything and using all that he's given her for his glory. Remaining in him means cultivating with God a faith and love relationship and being content with fruit as God determines it, whether it's in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our church, on our jobs, wherever it is. Remain in me and you will bear much fruit. What's going to come out of you will dazzle you. It'll amaze you. It'll be phenomenal. You'll be saying, Lord, look at me. Look at what you're doing. Look at this. And you won't be charmed, or you won't be caught up in how many or who or what. You'll be excited about the fruit. It's his fruit. It's for you, Lord, that I'm bearing this, not for notoriety, not for fame. I'm your tree. You know, I'm your branch. You're the one that I want to be delighted with by the fruit. Because it's for you. Whatever it is. If you want me to be an orchard of fruit, hallelujah. If you want me to be one little apple on the ground, hallelujah. It's your fruit. You know, we really do need to understand that it's not about what we accumulate or what we build. It's really about what is coming out. You'll bear much fruit, what you're producing from the inside out. God can use it however he wants to. And the final letter, the final word is rejoice. Now, why do I say rejoice is relevant? Because the word always follows it. In Philippians 4. Rejoice always. So that means whatever the subject, whatever the spiritual consideration, including rejoice in it is always appropriate. Let me put the main idea another way under this whole subject of, in this heading of rejoice. Let me put the main idea another way. If you are enjoying the blessing of belonging to Christ, trust me, you will be a blessing of Christ to others. If you are enjoying the blessing of belonging to Christ, you will be a blessing of Christ to others. So have a thankful attitude about yourself, about who you are and how God has made you. Have a thankful attitude. It doesn't say rejoice always until you start thinking about you. It doesn't say in everything give thanks until you start thinking about you. Rejoice always. Have a thankful attitude. I want the fruit of my relationship with the Lord to be a blessing to everybody. I do. I want to shine and magnify him. I want others to see Jesus in me. And all those songs, I want that to happen. But I tell the Lord, Lord, the person I want most to be impressed by what's going on between us is me. The person that I want most to be impressed by what's happening between us is me. Because then I'm bearing fruit from a whole and healthy place. I'm not trying to impress. I'm not trying to manipulate. I'm not trying to control. I'm just being. So Lord, let me rejoice in what you're doing in me. Rejoice and be impressed with God's work in you. I've had a great and fruitful life. I love the produce of it. I love the blessing that my life has been to others. I love the richness that it's brought to my own soul. I love the course of it. I love the focus of it. I love the objective of it. I love the fact that Jesus is the center of it. And I'm utterly thankful that he's also the producer of it all. I don't know how you feel about your life, but if you're not in this place, I would love to hear your biblical rationale for being there. Now, we're all in process, but what I'm suggesting is that the Lord wants us to rejoice over the life that we have right where we are. He wants us to give thanks for the life that we have right where we are, even as we consider where we want to go, even as we consider what we want to leave behind, even as we consider how He might want to take us to other heights, to in this spot, right here and now, to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done to bring me to this place, and thank you for the fruit that you're bearing through me right now. The fruit that I can see and experience if I take my eyes off of my deficiencies and put them on you. Hallelujah. Approach today and every day with hope. You are much more than a sheep. You are, in fact, a once-in-a-lifetime phenomenon appearing for a limited time only. So live your life with sizzle today. The more we stay focused on Jesus, putting no confidence in the flesh, the more clearly we will see and appreciate the fruit that we're bearing. I pray for every member of Valley Brook that each one would enjoy the fruitful labor that the Lord is producing in them and be grateful to Him for it. And another source of joy is our fellowship with one another. Fellowship is fruit sharing. It's a cornucopia that we put on the table. It's fruit sharing. So when we get together, there's joy that is now emanating from our collectively sharing the fruit of what He's doing in us and through us with one another. That's why we can't get out of Sunday school on time. That's why Bible study is from 7 to 8 and it winds up 8:30. We're going to have to change it on the program. And the people, and you know who you are in here who come to Bible study, always extending it beyond the time. And I'm trying to hold it back and it's like wild horses. Because I got one more thing, Pastor. Just one more thing. One more thing. Can I just say this before we pray? There's energy and exuberance and excitement in our fellowship with one another, and God intended for that to be a joy booster. And the fruit that we bring into that situation is the fruit that God is producing. So I'm just about done. I got one more line. No, no. That's not where you get it. Although I will say in Sunday school, you know, we were just motoring along in Sunday school and we were habitually late getting out by 11:03, 11:05, and one time it crept up to 11:07. So in January we come back after our break and we're sitting in Sunday school. And there's this clock on the wall facing where I sit. This was not a decor addition. This was not put up there to enhance the decor of the room because it was all off center. It matched nothing in the room. It was even crooked, kind of. But it was just staring right at us, and I asked who did this, but I knew before I asked who had done it, and it was Ronnie. And I said, we got in there and that clock was just kind of ticking. I said, but it was screaming. And it was screaming, y'all get out of here on time. And we could hear you pounding the nail in the wall, get out of here on time, and hanging the clock on. That clock said all that by just ticking. And she was right. I was right. But we get so caught up in the sharing of our fruit that God is bearing in us that we can't help ourselves. And this is the experience that God wants for each one of us, to bear much fruit as a result of belonging to him. It's part of the joy of belonging to him, is that you bear much fruit. So, relax, remain, and rejoice. Bearing much fruit doesn't come from being great or having great talent, but from having a great relationship with the Lord. Amen. So let's close in prayer and stand for our benediction.